Ooga booga. We're back.
We're back.
How was it, Matt?
You know, you already asked me that before we started recording. But the answer hasn't changed.
It was.
Wow, you really are a good listener, Danny. Fuck.
It was.
Well, that's the episode, folks.
All right. It was for Matt.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you, Danny? You see, I already know the answer, so don't bother.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, you know what? I already knew that. I said that.
Already. I don't know if I even said that.
You did. You did.
Anything exciting going on in your life, Matt?
We're having a Christmas party this weekend.
I can't wait for
February
that. It's going to be
4th?
So fun.
Yeah,
also, my present will be in tomorrow.
Big.
So
Mine won't.
We fucking got there.
I ordered 3 weeks ago, and my present still will not be here. Curse.
Do you plan on just, like, giving it to the person?
I've got an idea.
when it gets here? And
yeah.
Then just have something as a placeholder?
Whoever gets it, yeah.
Okay.
I might try and get it myself. We'll see.
Honestly, same. I might try and get mine myself, too.
I don't want to do that because I think it could be kind of lame. We're doing a white elephant, and I think it'd be kind of lame to take your own present. I'm not opposed to it because I will, but
yeah.
At the same time, I don't know if anyone will appreciate it enough. I hope people do because I think it's really funny, but
yeah.
Yeah. We'll just have to see. We'll see tomorrow.
We'll see.
Or no.
Yeah.
2 days from now.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. What about you? Anything else exciting going on for you, Dan?
Yes, actually.
Yeah, I actually know what you've got going on this weekend, I think.
Well, the Christmas party.
Yeah. I know the other. Well, I know you're doing it on Sunday as well.
Yeah, I'm going to the Holocaust Museum. But besides that, my friend, he asked me to be his groomsman in his wedding in October.
Big.
And he asked us all to do... like a video saying yes, basically. And I made like a PowerPoint with like a collage of pictures of us and just like a voiceover and like stupid things. Like there's a picture of me and like all my friends and him and I were in it. And I like circled us in red and like did just like dumb shit like that. And had like a voiceover. So
nice.
Yeah, I'm excited for him to get the rest of them and then reveal it to the world.
That's funny.
I want to go famous after that.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm excited for you to be famous.
Yeah, we're gonna go famous.
Yeah, that's us going big mode, finally.
Go big mode.
Go big mode.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of big mode, I guess they're doing their first game.
Oh yeah, what is it?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it was called, but I just remember seeing it on Twitter.
Nice.
But good for Dunkey.
I hope it's just a game based on like Dunkey making videos.
It's not. It's a real game.
That would be a real game. I'd play that game, but make it like a Souls game somehow.
Yes. Let's make it a Strand type game.
It would absolutely be a Strand type game. The second ever Strand type game.
Uh-huh. Well, I think that's it for all the exciting things that I have.
Yeah, okay. The big mode game is an exciting thing for you?
I think so.
Poggers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really play single player games, so it's hard for me to get excited.
Either. Listen, I guess I'm more excited about
Dunkey.
Big mode.
Big,
yeah.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
And Dunkey, you know, doing his thing.
Yeah.
And succeeding.
Pogger.
That's
well,
that's
it,
all
it,
I
it
really
could
want.
Fail. It could fail. Let's be
honest. Succeeding in the fact that they have
exist.
A game that they're yeah.
Okay. You're right. Success.
Great success.
Great success.
But yeah. So we're back.
Yes, we are back once again. Mm-hmm. We've got some games to talk about. Top
yep.
5 things. The A-Ram
top
report,
5 things.
Of course. Well, yeah, I didn't want to. Should I say it?
No, that's fine. I like
yeah, okay.
that.
Yeah, it's top five of something, but I won't say what.
Things.
And while we're at it, might as well bring up the socials. Follow us on Twitter, Spotify,
yeah, Spotify.
Apple Podcasts, Apple Music.
album/mixtape/music
soon or soon. Eventually. And then what else? Is there something else? Send us your sads, mads, glads, bads, fads, perhaps.
Yes, that works.
To losersqpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
With that being said, we're trying to talk about some games we watched.
Yeah, so I want to front this with saying that I said I was going to watch more games from Eastern regions. I did not do that at all.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, me too, honestly. I was driving home today and I was like, I seem to have forgotten a number of games.
You hate to see that. I didn't, however, though. I watched quite a few Eastern games. I watched quite a bit in general this week.
Yeah, I mean, I did still watch like quite a bit. Just, you know, mostly from the West.
Yeah.
Speaking of the West, LCS is on right now.
Correct. I have it on in a tab, one of the tabs that I have open.
Yeah.
Do they have a player interviewing a player right now? Is that what I'm
saying?
They
sure do.
Is that Sven interviewing Busio?
Busio. Yes, we do. Okay. I'm going to start with the LCS since we're here and it's on right now. So I watched C9 versus 100 Thieves last week. And all I said was, 100 Thieves washed, because I did not think that they played very well.
Yeah, no, they looked pretty bad in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't take note of that game, because I think we talked about it while we were live. We talked about it a little bit, but yeah, 100 Thieves looked awful that game.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's all I have to say. They looked awful. Double
yeah, while
specifically
we
didn't look great. I think Bjergsen kind of just looked awful. That team, it's a conundrum to me.
Yeah, I mean, they did win the next game they played.
True, which I also watched. I believe that was their game against IMT, but I also kind of think Immortals suck.
I think
they are clearly worse than 100 Thieves. I mean, 100 Thieves did look pretty good in this game. Like, no one, you know, in particular had, like, a standout performance, I would say. I just kind of feel like everyone on Immortals, besides maybe Kenvi, is a bot. At least it
just kind of the bottom of the standings that we perceive as the bottom of the standings, just fighting it out, basically.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the season, I mean, I guess we'll see if they end up coming around and not being washed, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
Next game I watched was CLG versus Stig. CLG is the best team in the LCS.
Correct.
If you follow the Twitter, you would know this.
True.
But I tweeted that out after their game against EG. I am so excited for this team.
Yep.
And people who doubt them being, you know, within, you know, top four, I'd say, are trolling.
I agree. I think they are the most complete team as of right now. I think it's very hard to say any team is better than them, at least from a teamwork standpoint, because every roster is new except them.
Yeah.
I think they're gelled, and I also think that the players are stepping up. I think Palafox has looked really good. Dokla's looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
I would say their bot lane's been fine. I wouldn't say they've had any standout performances, but their top side has looked very impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think, I hope to see more of the, if they fall behind and like in the game against EG, the, you know, ability and fight to, you know, bring it back and get those wins.
Yep.
'Cause that's really something that I liked from them last season.
Yep.
Where it was just like they just like wouldn't give up. So
I agree.
Which, you know, I think I think seeing more of that is just going to put more confidence into me. And, you know, I'm going to hype these dudes up more.
100% agree. And speaking of which, the other game that I watched for LCS was the CLG versus EG. That,
yeah.
That was a good game. Even though, like, early game, it felt like it was, like, EG's to lose. And I think CLG pulled it back pretty well. Like you said, they showed some resiliency. And I think, especially that game, their top side was just playing super well.
Yeah.
Poggers. JoJo. Sorry, no, you're good. JoJo's had a pretty rough start to the split as well.
He
has not looked good.
And I really don't feel like the meta has had such a big shift that it's really, you know, like that's the reason why that he's having a bad split. You know?
And maybe it's just because it's early on in the split. I'm sure he'll probably be fine. I think his ceiling is still really high. But
they're playing with basically the same roster. So,
It is two new players. So just because the Someday and Impact are like both, you know, the same kind of top laner doesn't mean their, you know, teamwork is the same. So I'm curious to see how the rest of their split will play out, though. I still think that they can be good.
No, I agree. I still consider them top four team also.
Absolutely.
So. Let's see. And then I watched Team Liquid versus Fly Quest. I was really excited for this because I was really excited to see how Team Liquid would do with their entirely new roster.
Yep. All Korean speaking.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I was also really excited to see how this FlyQuest roster is going to go. I feel like a lot of people, maybe including myself, was kind of doubting this team.
The FlyQuest maybe. Roster?
Yeah, I don't know if that was
you
me
were
or
doubting
not, but
the FlyQuest?
After
they brought over the best Korean AD carry that they could.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most promising upcoming mid laners from Korea as well.
And probably one of the best junglers in the LCS.
Yes.
Possibly
top
the
three.
Best.
Possibly the best. And then you add on a solid top laner like Impact, and then I guess the biggest question mark is Winsome. You doubted that? I don't know. I guess I could see it. But at the same time...
Maybe I did. I don't know. I
don't think you
can't
did.
Really remember what
I
said about
really
it. I
don't think you said too much about them being like... I don't know. I feel like you were pretty high on them like I was.
But anyway, so this, I thought this was going to be a pretty hype game.
Me too.
And I don't think it really delivered as much as I thought it was going to. You know, Team Liquid, I really felt like they maybe need more time to gel. You know, because it's a new roster, they just need more time to, you know, get used to each other's play styles and everything like that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I took from this game. I don't know if you saw this one and thought different or.
I share that assessment. I think TL as of right now are still 0-2 as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they've had just a pretty shaky start, but I think this team has a very high ceiling. I think Pioshik has the potential to just be the best jungler in all of LCS. I think Summit has proven he is literally at times the best player in the LCS.
Yeah.
So and Core JJ can also be the best player in the LCS. So I think the ceiling is the roof for this team.
The ceiling is the roof.
Yeah.
Let's just call them the coin flip team.
Yeah. For right now.
You know, PO chicken and you know could be the best team. You know, could be the best
True.
Players in the LCS.
He's like 3-6-9 of junglers. You either get the 3, the 6, or the 9.
I don't know if you saw, but Pioshik said that he was going to retire if he lost a game in the LCS.
I did see that. That was before they lost.
Yeah.
And they've since lost two, and he has not retired.
So actually, they I think he posted a video of him saying that he was retiring, and then he came back in a different outfit saying his name was different, and he's back for he's back to jungle.
I didn't see that, but good for him. I'm happy for him coming out of retirement. So we are now, when we're back, next time we're back like Pioshik.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Okay. Something to think about.
Yeah. So I really hope that this team, you know, works out all the kinks and, you know, is going to be as good as we think it's going to be.
Same. I'm excited for any of the teams with a lot of imports, to be honest. I think I think it's the future of the LCS.
yeah. You know, I was going to ask, did the LCS got rid of their import rule, right?
Not to my knowledge. I believe it's still two imports.
Or maybe
per team.
Maybe they were like talking about it or something.
I don't know.
Because I remember it was like last year.
I'm sure there have been discussions.
They were talking about it.
I don't know if anything officially got discussed.
Yeah.
But I, as far as I know, there is still the import rule, and each team is only allowed to have two imports.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
Or I guess we could probably find out, but
yeah, we
could, whatever.
Fuck
I'm
that.
Excited for it. Yeah. I'm here for it.
Yeah, same. I will watch regardless, and I think TL will mold into a top three team this year. Mm-hmm. I think, but who knows? Maybe the teamwork's not there. Maybe Impact fucking sucks. Maybe Harry and Ayla are also dog shit. Who knows? with that being said, we kind of rambled on that for a little bit. I think FlyQuest looked kind of shaky in this game. I wouldn't say it was what their final form will look like. Mm-hmm. I would say that this was just like first game, shake it off the rust.
Yeah.
And I haven't watched more than this game.
I watched
the game against Dignitas as well.
Yeah.
That game looked much better.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think, I mean, early game, and that was the game from today. I think early game,
FlyQuest versus Dignitas? That wasn't today.
Was it? Who'd they play today?
They
played Golden Guardians today.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But they played Golden Guardians, and Golden Guardians have been only defeated.
Free sticks, eh?
Yeah, actually. But they just got their mid laner from, like, he's an import, and they, you know, he's finally here. So, he played really well. And, I think, and Golden Guardians actually, like, won the early game, and then they, sorry, I'm dying. They won the early game, and then they were able to, you know, kind of go toe-to-toe with how FlyQuest is playing. So, you know, I don't think we could count out Golden Guardians as being a super bad team. But yeah, they are 3-0 so far. So
0-3.
0-3. Yeah.
There it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched enough Golden Guardians this split to have any real opinion. The main teams I've watched the most of have been FlyQuest and CLG and EG, because those are the three most appealing teams to me. But I'm gonna watch more of the bottom of the ladder team soon.
Yeah,
I didn't watch any more LCS outside of Fly versus Dignitas.
Outside of the games that I watched, I didn't watch anything else either.
My main takeaway from watching Dignitas forcibly watching Dignitas play is that they need to rethink this whole thing. it all just needs to go back to the drawing board and free Santorin. And that's all I've got.
Yeah.
But anyway, LEC, we talk LEC now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Honestly, at this point, I think... I just dropped my phone.
Red alert. He's going to open it, pick it up again, crack on it. No?
No. Honestly, I think that LEC right now is most exciting for me because we get super weeks every week, and you know, these games mean a little bit more than what they do in other regions. And honestly, I kind of hope that other regions kind of follow in their footsteps and, you know, adopt something like this. You know, like how they have with their three splits or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it helps the regions prepare for things like Worlds better and like international competition, because there's, you know, they all then have experience in the best of ones. the best of threes, the best of fives are, you know, obviously. So, you know, I think it's exciting because it's like more playoffs. You know, like these games mean more than just like best of ones for, you know, 10 weeks straight or whatever it is.
I mean, if you're comparing it to LCS, I agree, but I don't know if I would say the games still mean more than like LCK or LPL, because they're best of ones, but then the best of three still does matter.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, like I think I get what you're saying. Like the best of one feels more important, but like winning best of threes and like how you win them is still super important for the Chinese and Korean teams.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely have been enjoying LCK and LPL a lot more than I have anywhere else so far. But LEC has been the one that I've probably watched the most live, because it's been the one I've been able to watch the most live.
Yeah.
And I
mean, LCS isn't on, so.
Well, I mean, I am watching it live, but I'm just available more on the weekends.
Yeah.
And so far it's been interesting,
mm-hmm.
To say the least, for some of the games in the LEC.
And maybe my opinion changes if you know I've watched more Eastern region.
Yeah, there's been some good games. There's been some really good games.
You know, and I really do need to watch more of them, because you know, I'd like to have an opinion on all of them. So
yeah,
you know,
you're just gonna have to listen to me for now.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, LEC. So I watched Mad vs. Koi. Mad kind of get Koi kind of get dismantled by Madden here, and that puts Mad, I think, tied at the top of the standings at this point in time, in the weekend. And I think this was Friday, maybe. I don't remember what day
on
the
Friday,
game was.
So it wasn't Friday. It was Sunday, because on.
Oh yeah, it was Saturday.
BDS play, or not BDS.
It was Saturday.
It wasn't Saturday.
Koi played. Yeah, because the game after, I also
Koi
have
played,
Mad.
Koi played Team Heretics on Saturday.
I don't know what I watched then.
Yeah, go off.
But they kind of dismantled Koi, and Koi really have a pretty bad weekend, I think. And
yeah, they lost on Saturday to Team Heretics. It was a pretty close game, but they ultimately got bodied by Giga Chad Kaysante, Evie. He's a god on that champion.
Mm-hmm.
I believe at least on Saturday, this past Saturday, it was the only champion he had played.
Mm-hmm.
I think through three games. Or four games now. I think that was the fourth game, and it was his fourth straight Kaysante game, which is pretty fun.
Why did they leave it open?
Well, I mean, they were 1-2, so.
Okay, yeah, true.
That's probably why they let it happen. And then he got it, and then he was like, hey, no more.
Yeah, you see that score is not real. We're going to turn this shit around.
I'm still a threat, despite the record.
Speaking
of Saturday, I also watched Vitality versus Astralis, which. This game, I don't know if you ended up watching this or not. This was the first game, I think.
Yeah, I don't think I did.
Yeah, this one was, honestly, it felt promising for Astralis. I feel like they've had some very good early games.
Mm-hmm.
Every game of theirs that I've watched, it feels like they've won early game, which is the same here. And once again, just like every other game I've seen of them, they squandered it and they lost.
I think really for the mid lane is probably the most difficult to, you know, play at pro player, or at least that's what a lot of people say.
Uh-huh.
And I, you know, I wish I was good enough to understand it a little bit more, why the mid lane is, or why the mid part of the game is so important, I guess.
I think it's just about being as active as you can outside of laning phase, and that usually happens in the mid game. I think it's a tempo thing too.
You know,
because sure.
Like whatever team is able to keep up the tempo, then usually, you know, if the other team can't respond, then they usually start falling behind.
I agree. And I think that, yeah. but anyway, I just think Astralis just don't have enough carry potential. Their comp was like Twisted Fate. I don't remember what their AD carry was.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had Kabe on like Might have been the Varus. It was like kind of a pick comp because they had Twisted Fate Viego. I want to say their top laner was... You know, it doesn't matter. What matters is that they lost. Vitality looked very good in the back half of this game, but early game, they were just getting destroyed, and it was honestly kind of shocking to me. Yeah. And just another thing, just a quick side note, the other game, or not a side note, but the other game that I watched on Saturday was BDS versus Fnatic, and this game was also not very close. This game was just a straight-up stomp for BDS, which is shocking. Fnatic looked awful in this game, and BDS looked... I wouldn't even say they looked super impressive, but, you know, a win's a win. It definitely looked like they were outplaying Fnatic all over the map.
I really don't know what to think about this Fnatic roster.
It's falling apart.
I mean, I don't know if the bot lane is the issue.
Let's overreact to this one real quick.
All right, I mean,
Reckless is the worst AD carry in the entire LEC.
There it is.
All right, there we go.
Times have changed. He's washed.
He's washed. Bring back the one dude. The one who's always upset. Upset. That's his name. Oh, yeah.
How could you forget? It was like you just said it.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's puzzling because I think on paper a lot of people thought this team would be good because that top side, I think, has proven to be very solid. I mean, they had a very good first week at Worlds. They they finished third place, I think, in the LEC in the summer split last year. And yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, they definitely have things to figure out. And, I mean, next week is kind of their last chance to,
make sure
that they're, really turn around. Because, I mean, the bottom teams, like BDS have really turned things around, and then kind of a segue to the last game I watched, Koi versus SK. I think they have like completely found their groove in this meta, and have been able to play really well, and they beat Koi, who was the number one team in the LCS.
LEC,
LEC, yep. The last split.
Yep. Another segue, speaking of SK, they also beat undefeated G2 this weekend.
Yes.
And it was a very dominant showing, and I 100% agree. I think they are a team that has found their groove in this meta, and I think that they have potential to be a very solid candidate for middle-of-the-pack surprise team.
I agree.
Yeah, Exekick has been performing well. Marcoon's looked really good.
Yeah.
Those are the two standouts for me, at least.
Irrelevant,
I would say, has played pretty good games top lane into...
Doesn't look so irrelevant in the top lane.
No. And what was funny about this game, I think the casters and everyone, and they were just doing it jokingly, I'm sure, but they were comparing this current G2 to 2019 G2, which is Europe's golden boy. And they were apparently better stat-wise, at least through the first three games, than 2019 G2. Now,
that's
obviously, but it's three games versus their entire 2019, so it's like...
Oh, yeah, true. It's like you can't really compare it.
So they were
doing
it to overreact, and they were talking up every single player on G2 except Broken Blade, which I thought was really funny, and he wound up putting up a stinker in this game, and I think that speaks volumes to me.
Caster cursed.
Maybe caster cursed. Maybe he sucks. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's always been a solid top laner, but maybe not ever the guy to be the guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, former bottom of the standings SK beating former top of the standings G2. That's just LEC.
I would agree, but also I think it's just... It just goes to show, like, how I think this game specifically shows how much a draft can matter, because it really does feel like SK was just more comfortable, and I would say G2 didn't even pick that weird of a comp, and maybe that's why they were more uncomfortable, because usually they play like the weird stuff, and this game they were playing like a Kali mid, and like their top laner was like a real top laner, and their jungler was like Sejuani, I'm pretty sure, and their bot lane was real. So it's I think it's just a little bit of a comfort thing, and I think mm-hmm. that it might have been draft gap.
Yeah,
but it was still a good game to watch. I enjoyed watching it because I 100% assumed SK would just get dominated, and they
didn't. Yeah, and they didn't. So yeah, I think this weekend will be really exciting to watch because this is the last weekend of the best of ones.
Yeah,
and you know, could be some tiebreakers in there, and to see who's at the bottom. And I think everything's kind of let me pull up the standings. I feel like it's kind of like evened out more than it was anyways.
Mm-hmm. I mean
it's like, you know, two teams at 1-5, two teams at 2-4, one team at 3-3, and then the rest are, or no, and then three at 4-2, and then, or four at 4-2, and then Team Vitality up top with 5-1. I mean, you know, you have three games to play. I mean, if XL goes 3-0 this week, you know, they're sitting at 3-5, and then they deal out those, you know, distribute those losses to the other teams that they beat. You know, I think it's pretty doable to get out of the bottom two.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's only bottom two that don't make it then?
Yeah, top eight go. Okay.
Top eight, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So do we wanna, I guess I've got a couple more games to talk about. I mean, I think I watched Mad versus XL. This was the last game that I watched. This was a Saturday game. Mad did mm-hmm. end up winning this one. And XL mm-hmm. looked pretty fucking horrible. This team looks really bad. And mm-hmm. that is both shocking and not shocking.
Because
I think you're pairing a pretty strong weak side player with one of the worst junglers in the LEC currently.
Yeah, correct.
And then Vithio is in the mid lane.
He's not having a good year.
I think he started to show signs of not being great at the end of last split, mm-hmm. or summer split. And it's just been rough. I think their bot lane also, I think Patrick is a very solid player, but I don't think he's had that great of a year. Targibus has not looked good either. It's just, this team is just stinky.
It's really tough for them right now.
Yeah. And the record reflects it.
Yep.
But anyway.
And I mean, this is literally the week. I mean, you got to play your fucking ass off to make it through. So.
So you know. why don't we try to predict what two teams will be the bottom two?
Fnatic Astralis.
I think Fnatic XL. I think Astralis has had too many good early games to not have somehow found a way to turn around these mid to late games.
Mm-hmm.
I see it in them. I know they got that dog in them. I know. I can see the dog. It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
They can smell the treat. The dog is coming out. So Astralis make it out. Fnatic is going to be riding the bench for the rest of the winter split. And if Astralis make it in, watch out. They're winning it all. we're going to see an Astralis versus BDS final. Yes? Thoughts?
Sure. Fuck it.
Okay.
That'd be, it's definitely more exciting than G2.
100%. As long as I don't have to see G2 or Fnatic in a final, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Okay. anything else on LEC?
No, I don't think so.
Is there a team you feel looks clearly like the best team?
It's tough. I guess Vitality's one game, you know, one win ahead of
four other teams.
Yeah, like literally.
Yeah.
And I think his team Heretics is, you know, really starts getting going. I think they've looked better and better every week, so.
Yeah. It was only so been 2 weeks, but every game mm-hmm. I would say they've looked improved.
Yeah.
Even in their losses, I feel like they've looked better.
Fuck it. We'll say SK.
Yeah, I'm on this trade too. Fuck it. SK is the best team, and they are just gonna win by drafting. Outdraft.
Mm-hmm.
You have been out comforted by SK Gaming.
Also, this is the last week that they are on this patch.
Okay.
So they've been on the same patch for these past 3 weekends.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So next week.
New patch.
They
switched to this current patch, right? The one with the IE change. Big. Mm-hmm. IE Navori. Big.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
It'll be exciting to see how they go, you know, into this next meta and this next stage.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think SK is a very exciting team to watch this year.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think literally like last week or the week before we were saying that they were ass. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that they have shut me up and proved me wrong. I'm on the on the hype train.
I honestly love that. Like
I love when
prove me wrong.
Exactly.
You know?
I love when the teams that I talk shit about play well. I really do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I also like to see. I'm not gonna lie to you. I like to see Fnatic towards the bottom here. This is nice for me.
It's not the same old fucking song and dance.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. even though Vitality is at the top, it still kind of feels like familiar. You know what I mean? Like.
Vitality at the top. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like they've really had some stinky years and
not Vitality as an organization. Just this team. Mm-hmm. Something about this team. It feel they play with this confidence. It's very G2 esque.
Yeah.
I would say. I don't know.
I don't know. Perch is on that team.
True. Exactly. Yeah. I think that's probably it. I do think that Vitality is the best team in the LEC though by far. Yeah. I think Bo has proven that there's reason that there's hype around him.
Oh, yeah, that's what I want to talk about more, too.
Photon has looked insane as well.
Those two guys have just been amazing. And I think Bo is really, you know, allowing Perks to excel.
He's on Vitality, so...
Hmm?
He's on Vitality. Yeah. How can he excel?
Ah-ha-ha.
You get it?
Ah-ha-ha.
Anyways, I 100% agree with you. He has only made Perks a better player by having a better jungler.
Mm-hmm.
100%. And a better top laner, even. That's got to help in some way.
Yeah, I mean, if jungler doesn't need to go top because, you know, top laner's chilling, fuck it.
Fuck it. And also, I think Kaiser, I mean, we've been saying it for a while. This dude is probably the best support in the LEC.
Yeah.
And I think he's proving it once again. I think that there's just really no weak spot on this team right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it would not shock me, if we're being realistic, if this team just absolutely dominated the rest of the winter split.
Yeah, I agree.
But they will end up losing if they play against Astralis. Mark my words. watch out.
Or
they
SK.
Or SK. They will be out comfort picked by SK Gaming.
Uh-huh. Too easy.
Too easy.
So I guess you want to go over the Eastern?
Yeah, I'll kind of speedrun this. First game I watched this week was T1 versus D plus Kia.
This
was a 3-game banger. I don't really remember much from the first two games, but the last game, it was kind of just taken over by Faker's Kassadin. I think one interesting thing that I think has been happening pretty much across every league is the heavy priority Sejuani has had.
Yeah.
It seems like she's pretty much
like in every game.
Yeah.
It's literally. Either in every game or ban.
Exactly.
It's literally pick ban.
She is by far the most prioritized jungler in the world, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's interesting. And also something, I don't really have a lot of notes on this, but Deft had a hell of a series. T1 did end up taking this in game mm-hmm. 3. They take it 2-1. But Deft had a hell of a series. He has looked better than I've seen him look ever. And that is scary because mm-hmm. I think this Dame 1 Kia, D plus Kia team has a high ceiling, like world championship mm-hmm. high, without a doubt.
Not the ceiling. The ceiling isn't the roof.
The ceiling isn't the sky is the limit for this team.
The sky is the roof.
Yeah. after that, I watched Live Sandbox versus Bro. Mm-hmm. Bro, one game one, it was a very LCS type win, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Game 2 was a banger game. It goes for like 47 minutes. There was like 4 mm-hmm. elders taken, like 2 elders. Wait, 4 barons, 2 elders, I think is what it was. Mm-hmm. It was just crazy all over the place. Live Sandbox do wind up winning this one. And then game 3, Closer is on the Aurelia, and that is not mm-hmm. Viego one trick Closer, that is Live Sandbox's mid laner Closer, and he looked fucking insane. He honestly kind of carried this game. And I think another thing is Willer has looked like one of the best junglers in the LCK. And nice. We've been on the Wheeler hype train since Worlds 2 years ago.
Yes, so, sir.
we saw this coming.
we called it.
We 100%. But mm-hmm. the game 3 was pretty boring. It was just pretty much live sandbox all over the place. They mm-hmm. ended the game while being up like 14k gold. So yeah, not much to say there. Nice. The other game I watched was T1 versus HLE. Game 1 was probably the most close game, but it still felt like it was pretty much T1's game to lose the entire time. They kind of mm-hmm. started like throwing a bunch of fights. Even then, after they threw fights, it still felt like they were just in so much control that they couldn't lose, and they didn't. And then game 2, Hama Life Esports got a super good early game, and T1's comp was just all over the place, and they destroyed mm-hmm. them. And then game 3 was kind of just a repeat of that. I don't know what T1 was going for with their comp. It was like Yone mid, Jinx, AD carry. Their support, I believe, was... I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Carry was kind of sprinting at that game. I can't lie to you. Zeus was on the Kaisante. There was one point where he got soloed by Viper's Draven. It was mm-hmm. just rough. HLE looked really good, though, in the two final games of this series. That's all the LCK I watched. Then I watched... RNG
Fuck! I need to watch these games, man.
There were some pretty good ones. Like the Dam mm-hmm. 1 versus T1 or D plus versus T1 game was incredible.
I think even if I get like one series in, then you know.
Like I said, I've been watching quite a few. RNG versus LNG. This was the only or not the only LPL I watched. I watched mm-hmm. two LPL series. Game 1 was pretty back and forth, but I think it was a bit of a comp diff for LNG. Their AD carry LP was huge in team fights late game. He was on the Poke Varus, I think, this game, and mm-hmm. he was just destroying. And then game 2, RNG kind of had like an early game lead, and this was kind of the same thing that happened in game 1, but they kind of just fell apart right when it mattered. And mm-hmm. These Chinese teams will always capitalize on that. LNG has looked pretty good in the games that I've watched. Scout has definitely been the standout, mm-hmm. without a doubt. And they ended up winning this one 2-0. The other game that were best of three that I watched was RA versus TES. This first game was kind of like the T1 game that I mentioned earlier, where they played against HLE and had a lead the entire time but kept throwing, and it looked like they were trying to lose but still couldn't. They were basically ahead like 10k the entire time, but still just kept trying to lose, and it just never worked. So they win that game, and then game 2, their comp is like all AD. So their top laner is Darius, their mm-hmm. jungler is Sejuani, their mid laner is Jace, their AD carry was Lucian, and their support is Nami. So
you know, I that was kind of what the CLG draft felt like when they played against EG, because they had like.
They had a Cassie, though. They had like a real mid, like a AP mid.
No. What was I watching then? I can't remember what I was watching, but they like one of the teams went like full AD, and I was like, "No way, this is real! Like, why would you ever do this?"
Well, you'd think that it's a bad thing, but this is honestly just a complete stomp for top esports. They go up,
and I think that's 7K. The only way you can win.
They're up 7K at 12 minutes. They get, I mean... all, they get all 15 plates available to them. and I think
that's the only way to win with a comp like that also is to just destroy them as hard as you can before they, you know, can get all the armor.
I would agree. There was a point in this game where three members from RA roamed top to try to kill King Tien. It was early, too. It was like, mm-hmm. I think it was like pre-10 minutes, and he 1v3'd them. And I think from that moment on, I knew the game was just done for. They three-manned him again later and killed him, but it was very impressive to see.
He said, all right, let's wrap this shit up.
Yeah, so that one ended in like 25 minutes. The game was not very close. Top Esports end up taking this one 2-0 over RA. And I think before that game 1 loss, RA was technically 4-0, at least in games. So 2-0 overall, 4-0 in games. So they are no slouches. At least at the very beginning, they have not been slouches. and then they looked like slouches. So yeah, that's all the Eastern I have seen this week.
Nice. Thanks for carrying the Eastern region.
Yeah, no problem, Dan. You kind of carry everything else. So,
thanks, bro. I appreciate it.
And no problem.
We out here doing it up. I guess you want to talk the meta a little bit.
Yeah. There was, I think.
Let's start at the top and make our way down.
Okay. So I guess the most surprising thing that I saw this week came from what I would have considered the best team going into this week, and it was T1. They had Gumayusi and Karia play a pretty strange bot lane of Ziggs and Jhin. Mm-hmm. Which Gumayusi was on the Ziggs and Karia was on the Jhin.
Yeah.
This was in, I believe this was game two that they wound up losing to HLE.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a weird comp, but, you know.
Yeah, I guess. I think the bot lane is in a real weird spot.
Yeah.
You know, like it has been, you know, it feels like you can kind of pick like anything you want. But I'm going to have to agree with you, Matt, that I think Lucian Nami is probably the best bot lane right now.
Absolutely.
Yumi is not what it used to be.
Absolutely. I think Lucian Nami has been, there's a reason it's had priority for
mm-hmm.
What feels like almost a full year now.
Yeah, it really has felt like that.
Yeah.
It's really weird like the LCS game I'm watching right now, it's like, so one team like picks
I see this.
Lucian or Nami, and then they pick something else, just assuming that the other team's just gonna be like, yeah, we'll just leave this so you can pick it, you know, on your third pick. And they just pick the Nami away. And I, you know, like how good the Lucian is without Nami is, you know, I mean, probably substantially weaker, I'd probably have to say, or assume.
Yeah, it's definitely not as good. I think the second best thing you could pair with Lucian would probably be Yumi.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they've got a Sona support this game. I mean, it's Korg JJ, so, you know, I'm sure he's doing fine, but it looks like Yeon is doing pretty good in this game, at least, mm-hmm. but... I don't know, man. This game's against Immortals. There's nothing serious going on here.
Yeah, I don't know. But I did see that in another game too. When it's like, just is it you just let it go? Like if they pick away the Lucian, you know, do you just default into that Zeri Lulu or, you know, another like good bot lane into it? You know, like the Heimer Ash or whatever. You know, depending on bans and whatnot, but.
Yeah, I would say Draven has gained quite a bit of popularity.
Yeah, I agree. I think you just need to, if you don't want to play, if you're not gonna like play the full Lucian Nami, then just ban out one of them. Like
definitely, that's what happens in the Eastern regions most.
And they just don't play it then.
Exactly, and it seems like Varus has a pretty high priority over there.
Yep.
And outside of that, they don't really play like a whole lot. Like you get the weird stuff every now and then. Like you'll see,
mm-hmm.
you'll see like the Jinx. They, mm-hmm. I would say they have a higher priority on Draven. Like outside of the Varus,
mm-hmm.
it's like Draven, Ashheimer, or like anything to go with like or like Heimer Varus.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of that, and I think like the hyper carry AD carries don't really see a lot of play. Sivir, Zeri are still two of the more popular picks, and then Caitlyn. I would say that's like the bot lane meta in a nutshell, outside of like Lucian, Nami, Varus.
Mm-hmm. So I guess moving up to the mid lane, the only really kind of, I guess, addition that I've seen is like a little bit of Ryze, but other than that, I think it's kind of been the same.
Yeah, I think I would agree 100% with that. I think Syndra could be a champion that we see more priority on. I think Yone has had quite some priority in the Eastern regions.
Yeah.
Faker was on at one of the games that they got absolutely destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if maybe he just sucks at Yone or what it is, but he did not look very good.
Mm-hmm.
I think it
doesn't feel like his kind of champ.
No. I think that there is a lot of flexibility still, though, in the mid lane. We've seen, at least in the Eastern region, I've seen quite a bit of Aurelia. I saw,
and there has been, I think,
high
once
priority
or twice.
On it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that high priority on her.
She seems to. It seems like most comps or most teams are just like letting other mid laners get banned out, like the Azir or the Sylas, and they're like, okay, well, we'll just pick Aurelia, and then they just work around that. And usually,
Fuck
you'll
it.
See the Aurelia with like something like like an AP jungler, like maybe you only do it if you have an Elise, or maybe you only do it if you get the Yuumi, because usually the top side's like a tankier champion, or it's like Jace or Camille or Ornn or just a bruiser. I think, but I don't know. I like when Irelia is a part of the mid lane meta. And I, like I said, I even saw
a little bit of flavor in there.
Absolutely. I even saw the Jace flex mid earlier today. So
nice.
I like to see stuff like that. And I
Me too.
I really do feel like this is a very diverse meta. I think it's been good for the game.
Mm-hmm. Moving into the bungle, obviously Sejuani is you know, real good.
Sejuani, Wukong, Maokai.
That's kind of it. I think Elise also. But I have been seeing Elise banned quite a lot, and I think it's specific like comps that she's, you know, good into.
100% agree. I think Elise is a hard champion because I think she's very good early game because she helps you get off early dives a lot easier than any other champ really can. And I think she's very good for comps that are trying to have a very strong early game. But I feel like I've seen a lot of teams fumble the Elise pick quite a bit. Like just this past week.
Yep, I agree with that also.
It was Koi, I believe, who picked it in their game against Team Heretic. And I wouldn't say that he had a bad game, but Maoreng was kind of just like aimlessly walking around at times. He was just constantly looking for a gank. And I think that's what you have to do on Elise, but he was never doing it to a point where there was much success. Like, he would get flashes and whatnot every now and then, but he was barely farming, and I think it honestly caught up with him, and it was a big part of why the game went so late. And I think it helped Team Heretic just get back into the game. So I think Elise is a very strong champion, but also very hard to execute. So I think Eastern teams playing it probably could pull it off. Western teams, they're not always going to get there.
And then I guess top lane. Something that I have seen is I think there's been a kind of a prominent good pick into Cassante, because I think he's by far probably the best bruiser in top lane. But I think the counter that I've seen is the Gwen. So far I saw it in LEC and then even in LCS earlier today. And I think that's, you know, becoming a pretty good counter pick into it.
I also think the Jax is a very good pick into it. I think I think Jax is probably one of the more common matchups. Like Jax Cassante is one of the more common matchups. And I like it. I mean, I hate Jax as a champion playing against it at least, but I do like to see Jax in pro play because you get to see the top laners really show off their skill, and I've seen some incredible stuff from top laners playing Jax. So other than that, I saw some Ornn this week. I saw I saw some Sion. This was mainly in LPL and LCK, but
it always goes back to the same thing.
It never changes. But yeah, I would say that the top lane meta is not like super crazy diverse either.
I wouldn't either.
It just feels like the pool added Cassante, basically.
Yeah, and Gwen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, which she's always kind of like been in and out of the rotation, but. Yeah, she definitely feels like she could be a solid pick into Cassante. She does, I believe she does health based damage. So I mean, if he's building all health, you know, you're just gonna zap him.
Yarp.
So yeah, meta talk.
Nice.
I would say this meta best suits teams like T1 though, because I really feel like if any team can execute the harder comps to play, like I still can't get over the comp that they played earlier in the year, the Ashe Varus, where they were just like one of the ulties would land and then they would just CC chain them. They also had the Sejuani ult for follow up or the Renekton ult. Like, how do you fight against that? If you get seen on a ward in the wrong spot, you are dead. They will kill you. And I think that they can go back to something like that very easily. And I'm afraid that they will. I'm afraid for the rest of the world that they will.
See what happens.
Yeah. I'm excited to watch more. I'm gonna watch some LCK tonight. So,
nice.
Yeah.
All right. Moving forward, top five.
Top five.
Top five things that makes you
a good
teammate. That makes a good ranked teammate.
Yeah.
I thought this one was good because, you know, we've been playing more ranked than we did in previous years.
True.
I think. You want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The first thing is, I think probably the easiest thing that you can do is just not blame your teammates.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, you know, like if you just don't say anything to them, then it, you know, they probably won't mental boom then. But if you just, you know, keep like talking shit and pinging them and stuff, then they, you know, more of a chance to mental boom.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, it's just like, even if they suck, you know, deal with it and then flame them at the end.
Or don't even do that. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, my number five would probably just be, in order to be a good teammate in my ranked game, I would prefer you play a comfort, whether it's a pick or whatever it may be. Roll, your pick is comfort, or where you're picking is comfort. Just be comfortable when you play ranked. If you're going into ranked and you're uncomfortable, you're going to have a bad time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want you in my ranked game if you're not having a good time. So,
yeah, exactly. So match number five is actually have a good time.
Sure, we'll go with that. My number five is have a good time, but also just play comfort.
No, I completely agree.
In general.
You know, I think some people just go in and then they play, you know, the, like, a champ that they never played before.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, well, if, you know, we are in NA, and, you know, some people don't give a shit, but if you care at all, then, you know, just play a champ that, you know, you're comfortable on.
Yeah, if you're trying to be a good teammate, don't sabotage your teammates. Don't make a selfish choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there it is.
My number four. Just ping. You know, ping when your laner's gone. You know, ping when you're on the way. You know, just like, again, I guess it's useful communication. That's gonna be my number four, is useful communication. You know, type useful things to your opponent, to your team, not your opponents. And, you know, good pings are helpful.
Yeah, that's my number four as well. I was literally just gonna say it's only type useful information, and make sure your pings are only useful. And make sure your pings are precise. Make sure you ping when your laner is missing. Make sure you ping when you think that they could be roaming to another lane. Whatever it takes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Number three for me, build your champ right. I feel like this one is, you know, also very important. Like, just, don't, troll your build. Just, like, build, you know, like, pay attention somewhat to the game and build correctly into the comp. You know, if you're side laning mainly against an AD champion, don't build Merc Treads kind of deal, you know, like...
Okay, yeah. No, I get that. I can agree with that.
You know.
Am I on three?
Yeah.
My number three is, don't play for yourself, play for the team. I think...
Yeah, I'm in... This is my number two also.
It's difficult because in low elo, I think everyone kind of just assumes that they are playing alone. I think the biggest problem is, unless you're duo queuing, you are 100% playing like it's you versus everyone else, literally everyone on the team. And I don't think that's the correct way to play. I think you need to play with the team. You need to play around the team. You need to, like, if you're the top laner and you lose your first solo, like you just get soloed and it was close, don't boom and just understand your role. You need to now either farm up and just play for waves and just become a champion later, or you need to... You're basically just going to have to relegate yourself to side laning. And then mid laners...
Just minimize the damage.
Mid laners need to realize when, like, they're not the carry, or when they are the carry as well. Because there are many times I've seen my mid laners get ahead and just squander it. Or there are other times where they're not ahead and they refuse to farm any lane but mid lane when they should be side laning at that point. And junglers, I feel like we've had some pretty good junglers, but I also feel like we've had some junglers who are literally only PvEing.
And they don't, and like they have no game sense, you know. They're like, they're paying drag, and it's like we are pushed no under problem. Tower.
They,
like
you
what
start it, that drag, and there's a word on it, you're dead.
Like we are not coming, and then of course they blame us because they don't understand the game.
Exactly. So it's just a matter of people thinking about the overall picture, but ultimately mm-hmm. it's playing for the team.
I agree. You know, and sometimes even helping in the most, like if the play is not optimal exactly, but you know a majority of the team is already committing to it.
Yeah.
The only way to make sure that could win in any capacity is to help and be in that fight. You know, no matter win or loss, you know, it's like as a team.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, my number one.
Oh,
wards.
I didn't even get my number two.
Oh, you just did. I thought
no, that
was
my
number two.
That was my number three.
Oh, go ahead.
That's all right. My number two is, I mean, it's, I would say it's pretty similar. It's also words, but I think it's just more just proper objective play. Mm-hmm. And you could say that's like, whether it's warding the proper spots to know that we're not going to have to like coin flip, or just like just proper vision setup, like just deep warding any part of their map, like mm-hmm. their side of the map. Which I don't think nearly enough junglers do. I don't think nearly mm-hmm. enough top laners do. When top laners get a shove top lane, they need to start warding the enemy's top side.
Like it's like jungle. It's at so minimum, simple. At minimum, ward the entrance to the jungle.
Yeah, and
that gives
just
you so much more time to like know if there's a gank coming, know if you know they're going to the river, you know, knowing if they're starting an objective, like whatever it is, knowing where the jungler is very important.
Yeah. Yeah, you can go off. That was just my brief one, but your number one is wards, so.
Yeah, so, you know, I think, especially like you were saying, objective play, I think going to an objective with more vision than the enemy team, like in inventory or already on the map or both, is like a way to better win the objective. 100%. You know, like knowing where the enemy team is very important to like your team's positioning and how your team positions, you know, and you know getting caught out and things like that. So so I think it's really important, and I think a big thing is also tracking where the jungler is. So like if you're mid lane and you get a push to turret, ward Raptors, you know, yeah. opposite side Raptors, and then or you know walk down and ward Pixel Brush, or you know even at minimum your just River Bush.
Hard agree.
So I think there's that, and then I think you know I really think that a support's job is to clear out enemy vision as much as possible and provide as much as possible. I think that should be a support's main goal. You know, main mini game as maybe,
it's a good way to put
you
it.
Know, in assisting your team, you know, that's how a support assists their team, is with wards. And then, obviously either keeping the ADC alive or the carry alive, engaging and peeling the AD carry, you know, that's kind of your main roles, but your second role is to get vision for your team.
Hard agree. But mm-hmm. my number one, and I think this was hard for me to come up with like a bunch of multiple different like things, because I think they all fall under this one thing, and mm-hmm. it's pretty much just positive mental.
There it is.
Positive mental has got to be the biggest key when playing ranked. And I mm-hmm. struggle with not keeping a positive mental myself. I think I've been a little bit better in the last two games mm-hmm. we've played, maybe, but we've
I
also
agree.
Kind of just been stomping. Yeah. But I think once you get to that point where obviously you care about winning the game, but you don't boom if you aren't winning or if things aren't going your way, that's when you truly become the best ranked teammate you can be.
Yeah, I think a lot of people also, you know, put like pressure on themselves to like do well, or they get nervous because it's a ranked game or whatever.
Yeah.
Like just play it like a norm, like you
play
know,
it like it's any other game. It's.
Exactly. It literally is any other game.
It literally means nothing overall in the grand scheme of anything.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. just play it like that's the...
Your rank doesn't define you.
Exactly. And also, people who think their rank does define them, or people who think that rank defines a person, or they try to.
Oh yeah, that's insane.
Insecure. Those people are insecure.
Uh-huh. Agreed. And the only thing they have is league.
Which, by the way, Danny, you suck because you're bronze.
Oh no, I actually suck because I'm iron.
Oh shit, Danny, you suck because you're iron. There I'm better is. Than you because I am bronze.
All right. Got him. We're gonna dig ourselves out from the depths. So
yeah, no, we're absolutely climbing out of it. No doubt in my mind. Speaking of climbing, segue ARAM report.
There it is.
We've been ARAMing.
Okay, so I opened this and I kind of changed the colors to make it more understandable. Is that right? We only have three games?
No, I think we played some of these other. Hang on, I actually have the client open. I can see when these games got played.
Yeah, if you can see like what your first game was. Also, you misspelled Zeri. I see you trying to get more than one. Getting another champ in your unique champion pool.
That's my only Zeri game, right? Is it two R's?
No, it's one.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah.
Prove it. Open up the client right now. Okay, hang on. I've played quite a few games.
It's on the League of Legends site.
Thanks, Dan. I'm glad you proved it. Okay, so Rengar, Karthus, Aatrox.
I guess you gotta look at the date.
Lee Sin, Karthus, Aatrox.
So the last time that we would have gone over an ARAM report would be the 26th of January.
Okay, hang on then. I feel like this Rengar game was from before that. I need to go to my op.gg to find out. My op.gg profile is wrong. It says I'm bronze 3, but I'm actually bronze 1, so they're lying on my name.
Oh yeah, you gotta like update it.
Oh yeah, you're right. Sorry, this is taking some time.
It's fine. Dead air. Fuck it.
Yeah, no, it's all right. People love when the air is dead. Fuck, I don't know. I played a lot of ARAMs. But I don't see this Rengar game, like, at all. Oh. That's all right. You know what? We'll just say it was only these three games, even though that Hold doesn't up. Seem right.
It's not. Okay, so when I played Jhin, so...
Okay, so we have four games this week?
Yeah.
Or does this Fiddle and Jinx one not fall on that day?
No.
My shit
does
is
not.
All over the place.
Yeah, it actually is.
I feel like my match history is like out of order.
No, wait, this looks right.
Okay, hang on. I think we have a bunch of games from 10 days ago.
It's so weird.
What was 10 days ago? Why can't I think?
I don't know.
Last Thursday was the 26th.
According to this, we have seven.
Listen, we don't need to worry about this. Why don't we just update...
Oh, is Rank Solo also in here? Why is this in here?
Why don't we just talk about how we've progressed on the stack counts?
Oh, three. Three games. Okay.
Yeah, I guess that sounds right, because 10 days ago would not have been since the last episode, so.
All right, so average game time is 19 minutes. It's 19.84 minutes, so almost 20 minutes.
Getting there.
our win-loss percentage has gone down 2%, so we're at a 58% win rate.
Correct.
Our Poro popped percentage has gone up. We are at 25.81%. Our total combined stacks is 1,653. Matt, what's your stacks?
I have 908. Dan, what's your
stacks? I have 745, and that's a difference of 163.
Correct. And
it's going up a little bit.
I have more unique champions than you. I've officially overtaken you, and I'm not looking back on this lead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna take it. I'm gonna take it and run with it, Dan. Watch
out. At some point, you're gonna have such a you know, you're going to play so many different champs that sometimes you have to play another champ that you have played before.
I think, well, I was saying it earlier in the week when we were playing, I want to try and play every champ if I can. Every champ, excluding the four that shall not be even thought of while I play League of Legends.
Okay, good.
So, yeah.
Let's see.
So that would be like what, like 130-something champions? That's the goal.
Yeah, maybe more. I don't remember exactly, actually. So let's see, we have 31 games total in just a couple weeks.
Yeah, and that's already almost just as much as the previous split.
Pog, yeah, we're going to smoke that shit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think the homie sheet got an update at all this week, because I don't think we were playing with homies. So
nope,
no new updates with
like
the
it.
Homies.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should find somewhere to put the date so then we know.
Yeah, I think we'll have to find a way.
The coloring scheme will make sense. Like, yeah. Whenever we record, like, I'll just leave them white until we record, and then I'll make them a color.
Yep, I like that.
And then we disregard them. So now we have this yellow, and then the red, and then we'll just start a new one or whatever. Poggers. Cool. I think that's it.
Yeah, I've got nothing else to say. Maybe I'm gonna give a shout out to Ian. He hooked me up with some access to a producing software is what we'll call it for now. So Ian is now officially a co-producer on the to come album/mixtape.
Nice.
Yeah.
Shout out Ian.
Shout out Ian. He's really carried the podcast in more ways than one. he's brought up the sheet. He was an ARAM MVP. He's now a co-producer on the Losers Q album.
Yeah.
Crazy.
All right, let's wrap this up. I got to take a doo-doo.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't we just end it like that? You're Dan, having to poop. I'm Matt, not having to poop. This was Loser's Q. Follow the socials. Goodbye.